We begin Torah Pei Gimel in Likutei Moran Tanina. Rabbeinu Zal begins by saying, Al Yedei Tikkun HaBris, through Tikkun HaBris, which means purity in a person's dealing specifically with the relationship between men and women, number one, and also Bechlal, all types of mitzvahs that are related to the Bris Kodesh, which means the whole concept of purity, purity of mind, purity of body, in dealing with all items that relate to the Bris Kodesh. Rabbeinu Zal says, through Tikkun HaBris, Shehu Keshes, which is symbolized by the rainbow, we know the Gemara in one place discusses the fact that when was a rainbow first introduced into the world? Right after the Mabul, right after Hashem destroyed the world because of the flood, one of the most outstanding averos because of which the flood resulted was Ki Hishchis Kol Basar Es Darkei Al Haaretz. The Torah says that there was a very disgusting situation that was prevalent in the world at that time in how people conducted their derech. We know the Gemara says in the beginning of Kiddushin that derech refers to Isha, the association derech Isha mina Efes. The Gemara quotes a few psukim where it shows that the concept of one's relationship with one's own wife or bechlal with women is referred to as derech, darkoi shel ish lachzor achar isha, that it's the derech of a man to seek out a woman and not opposite. In this case, in the beginning of Parshas Noach, the Torah says that Hashem said to Noach, Kates kol bosor bolofonai, the end of mankind is about to take place. Why? Ki hishchis kol bosor es darkoi al haoretz. Because man has desecrated. Hashchosa means a very disgusting form of destruction related to Darkoi Al-Horetz. The Medrash writes that some of the types of things that went on at time where people had relations with animals, there were all kinds of very much misconduct in terms of this area of Tikkun HaBris. So the Torah says that at that time Hashem brought a flood, boiling waters, to the world, with which all of mankind was destroyed. Man, animals, plants, everything was destroyed, start fresh. The Torah says that when Noach came out of the Teva, Noach was mispalel, he said to Hashem, please, this shouldn't happen again, the world shouldn't be destroyed again. Hashem said, fine, that guarantee I will give you. However, Hashem said, Zois, Ois HaBris Beiniu Beinecho. There's going to be a sign of a bris, a bond that's formed between Hashem and the Jewish people. That if ever there will arise a time again when the Yidden will become so bad that it'll justify a Mabul Chas V'Shalom, note, which came about specifically because of Chilul HaBris, Ki hishchis kol basar, because of pigam HaBris, because relations between men and women and men and animals, Rachmon al-Tzlan, were in this very improper way. If this will ever happen again, Hashem said, I will place my sign in the sky, the rainbow, and that'll show that were it not for the fact that I gave my word that I would not destroy the world, the people are bad enough to justify going ahead and destroying the whole world. This is the deal Hashem made with Noach. We find in the Gemara tells a story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal meeting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is one of the outstanding rabbis mentioned in Shas. This Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one about whom a story is told, how he did something whereby he was worthy of having Eliyahu Hanavi take him into Gan Eden, to show him his place in Gan Eden. And there's a whole story of how Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi stole the sword of the Malach HaMoves. Once he was in Gan Eden, he grabbed hold of the sword of the Malach HaMoves and he wouldn't return it to him, and he forced the Malach HaMoves to agree that he would not kill him, that he would not kill Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in any way. There's a whole story. part of that story is where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi meets Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in Gan Eden. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal had obviously passed away already, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi entered into Gan Eden, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal looks at this great tzaddik coming into Gan Eden, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he says to him, "Who are you that they're all making such a big deal about you, bar Levoi," referring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He said, "I have one question for you. Did the rainbow ever appear in the sky during your lifetime? If it did, then you are nobody special, then you are no big deal. If the rainbow did not appear in the sky throughout your lifetime, then I know that you are a tzaddik." Specifically, this title, tzaddik. Why? We know that what bracha do we make on seeing a rainbow? Baruch Ato Hashem Alekeinu Melech Haolam, Zecher HaBris. The Hashem who remembers the Bris. Bris means a bond, a contract that was made between Hashem and the Yidden. Bris also refers to this issue specifically, this mitzvah in Yiddishkeit, referring to purity in relations between man and woman, husband and wife. The whole concept of purity related to that whole area, that whole segment of life. That's called bris. Shmira sabris means keeping it properly, and chilul abris means a person who commits sins related to this area. We know in the Shulchan Aruch, there is one quarter of the entire Shulchan Aruch is devoted to relations between man and woman, husband and wife. That's the Evan Hoezer, which is one-fourth of the Shulchan Aruch. That's devoted to the laws of Kiddushin, Gitin, Hilchas Ishus, Ksuba, all the different items that relate to the relationship between man and woman. And in Eira Chaim itself, the final chapter in the first section of Eira Chaim is called Hilchas Tznius, the laws of modesty, which deal with how a man and woman are supposed to conduct themselves, both before marriage, during, after marriage, everything, all the different laws related to purity in this area. So this is all encompassed within this term bris, shmiras habris. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us, the Zohar HaKadosh makes a statement, ikra de yitzra bisho al arayin. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal says, we know that every malach has a primary mission. Angels can be used for different missions. We find the Malach Gavriel appears several times in the Torah that Hashem used them on different missions, once for Avram Avinu, once to save Doniel from the Goyif Arayos, once to save Hananya Mishael Vazaria. However, usually at one time, a Malach is only given one mission to do. But a Malach's name usually is a reflection of the mission of that Malach. Just as the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Dayik Bishmo, that Rabbi Meir was very particular. When he heard a person's name, he would focus on the person's name, and by hearing the person's name, he knew a lot about that person. The name of the person contains a lot of information about the person. It's not just stam that at a bris they give a boy a name or give a child a name and that's it. Whatever name is given to a child at their bris milah for a boy, or on Shabbos by the Sefer Torah for a girl, that name comes from heaven. Rabbeinu Zal is a place in Sichas Ran where he discusses the fact that there's a lot of machlekes a lot of times between the parents and the grandparents and the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's mother-in-law, all kinds of conflict about this issue. And Rabbeinu Zal says it's all nonsense because in the end, it's Hashem who sees to it that the baby should be given the name, the proper name that's associated with that baby. That's by human beings. By Malachim also, we find the same thing, that a Malach's name corresponds to the mission of that Malach. The Malach Rafael is the Malach whom Hashem uses on missions of Refuah. The Malach Gavriel is used on missions that involve Givura, strength, power. And the Yarizal and the other Sifrei Kabbalah discuss many, many of the Malachim explaining what their mission is. The Malach who's appointed over remembering your learning is the Malach Michoel. This is why the Gemara in Chagiga makes a point of saying that it's not, you can't compare a person who reviews their learning 100 times to a person who reviews their learning 101 times. Einoy doime. Why? Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk. There's a pasuk that shows that they'll come, that says that there'll come a time when you'll see the difference bein tzadik l'rosho, bein oived elikim la'asher loyavodoy. You'll see the difference between one who serves Hashem la'asher loyavodoy versus one who doesn't serve Hashem. The Gemara says, from here we learn out that you can't compare a person who reviews their learning 100 times to a person who reviews it 101 times. Where do you see it in the pasuk? Where do you see that a person who learns so much that he's zeichet to review his learning 100 times, he's called enoy la'asher loyavodoy, a person who doesn't serve Hashem, whereas a person who reviews their learning 101 times is called a person who serves Hashem? So the Vilna Gaon Zal gives us one chiddush to show how the Torah Shebal Peh is zero without the Torah Shebichsav. Any item that the Chachomim and the Gemara told us, you can bet your boots that there's proof to it in the written Torah. As in this example, the Vilna Gaon Zal says, note the pasuk that the Gemara quotes. The pasuk says, "V'shavtem ureisem bein tzadik l'rosho bein oived elikim l'asher loyavodoy." There'll come a time when you'll sit and you'll observe the difference between a tzaddik and a rosho, bein oived elikim, between one who serves Hashem la'asher loyavodoy versus one who doesn't serve Hashem. The Vilna Gaon Zal says, "Look at the roshei tevois, oived elikim la'asher ayin aleph lamed." Is 101. Loy avodoy lamed ayin is 100. This is the remez in the pasuk. Why would the Gemara use this? But the Gemara doesn't tell you why or how. The Gemara just says there's no comparison between a person who learns, reviews the learning 100 times versus a person who reviews it 101 times. And the Gemara says, proof is this pasuk. Where do you see it? The Vilna Gaon Zal was deep enough to know where in this sentence the rabbis saw a remez to the difference between 100 and 101. That's the Vilna Gaon. Along comes the Arizal, and he asks, W-H-Y. Why? Why isn't the difference between 112 and 113? Somebody picked these numbers out of a hat, but dafka, the distinction should be between 100 and 101. And the Arizal says, you should know that as long as a person is still within the scope of the number 100, as long as he's still within the boundary of 100, the angel of death, the Malach HaMoves, the Sotom, the Yetzer Hara, who is called the Malach Samach Mem, the angel of Sam means poison, that angel could still have a shlita over the person. He could still affect that person because the person is within his boundary, within the scope of 100. Samach Mem is Begematria 100. The moment a person reaches a level where he reviews his learning 101 times, that person rises out of the boundary, out of the scope, out of the reach of the Samach Mem, and he attaches himself to the Malach Michoel. Michoel is Bigimatria 101. Michoel is the angel who's appointed over Zikoroin. That's the angel that's appointed over Zikoroin Dikdusha, over remembering your learning. It's not just Stam that this was picked like this. Now, Rabbeinu Zal has a turn in the Likutei Moran, one of the earlier chapters in Chelek Aleph, where Rabbeinu Zal explains what's the connection between Michoel and Zikoron Dikdusha. But factually, we see that the name says a lot about the person or about the Malach. So too, we find the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ikra de Yitzra Bisha al Arayin. You want to know the Sotan himself. What's his main mission in this world? Is it Bittul Torah? Is it to get a person not to learn? Is it to get Jews to hate each other? True, those are major, major sins, major problems. But the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ikra de Yitzra Bisha, the main sin for which this Malach is in business, the main thing he's trying to get a Jew messed up in is Arayin, Chilul HaBris, Aroyos. This is why in Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, the reading of the Torah at Mincha especially, which is the holiest time within Yom Kippur, right before Ne'ilah, is that section in the Torah that deals with arayos, because that's the item that needs the greatest siyata d'shmaya, the greatest help from Hashem. Where do we see this? Where do we see that that's the main mission of this malach? This malach's whole name is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That's his full name. Every malach, usually, their names end in Kael. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, which is Bigimatria 131. The Hebrew word for niuf, which means znus, all of the items that are encompassed within that, nun aleph pei, is also exactly Bigimatria 131, showing that this is the main thing that this malach is in business for, to see to it to mess up a Jew in this area, whether it be in action, causing a Jew to commit physical sins that involve maaser, or in dibur, in speech. We know that the Gemara says that it's a sin for a Jew to speak extra to a woman. Al tarbe sicha im ho isha. You're not supposed to speak a lot to your own wife, the Gemara says. Alachas kama v'kama. How much more so? A person has to be particular, to be careful to limit their words to someone else's wife or to a straight, to a woman that's not one's wife. And even in machshavo, even in thought, the Gemara says that when it comes to this area within religion, koshe hirhure avera me'avera, when it comes to this mitzvah specifically, men and women being kept apart and in purity, the Gemara says a bad thought in certain ways is worse than a bad action. Koshe hirhure avera me'avera, because a thought in this area creates neshamos. If a person thinks bad thoughts, chas v'shalom, related to women, a person can actually force a neshama to come into the world where it doesn't have a body to go into at all, it doesn't have a keli, and Rachmona Litzlon, the Sifrei Kabbalah explained, this causes immeasurable problems, where this neshama becomes like a parasite trying to suck chiyus from the person that created it, that brought it into the world. It has no guf to go into, to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. With his thought, he was able to draw a neshama into the world. The neshama has nowhere to go to, no way to do mitzvahs, no way to draw life, and it ends up damaging the person that brought it into the world in a very major way. This is why the Zohar HaKadosh says, Man tzadik, man denotar bris. Which Jew, what mitzvah is there that gives a person the title tzadik? It's mi sheshomer habris. A person who keeps themselves pure in this respect, this is how you earn the title tzadik. This is why Avraham is known as Avraham Avinu. Moshe is known as Moshe Rabbeinu. The one individual who's listed in the Torah as tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik. Why? Specifically because he passed an extraordinary test in this area with Potiphar's wife. Because he was confronted with a not chas v'shalom that we're implying that Avram Avinu wasn't pure in this area, or Yitzchak Avinu, or Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved such a level where he was married to the Shekhinah itself. Hashem, he was the only Jew who was told to separate from his own wife completely because his relationship with Hashem had to be so close. But the fact that Yosef HaTzadik underwent the first major test in this item and passed the test, that's how he earned this title tzaddik. The hero of the Yontif of Shavuos, Boaz, is known in the Gemara as Boaz HaTzaddik because he passed the test with Rus. We're going to read Megillas Rus on Shavuos, where it discusses a situation where Boaz, which Boaz was confronted with, where he could have committed a sin and he didn't. He was zeichet to be pure. The Zohar HaKadosh says, why is he called Boaz? Again, in the name is everything. Boaz. In him was strength. Oiz, strength. The Gemara says in Pirkei Avos, how do we define strength in Yiddishkeit? Ezehu giber hakovesh es yitzroi. Gevura, oiz, gevura, is one who controls his yetzahara. Which yetzahara? Ikra de Yitzra Bisha al Arayin. The main mission of the Yetzirah is Aroyos, Pigam HaBris. So a person who is successful in this area, he is Boaz. In him is this strength, this power that the Torah talks about. So therefore, how do we come to this? Rabbi Nizal says, Al yidei tikkun habris shehu keshes, through tikkun habris, which is represented by this concept of the rainbow. The rainbow is the symbol. When we see the rainbow, we make the bracha zecher habris, and it represents this item specifically. Yochol lahoitzi hachitzim. That's what enables a person to shoot arrows properly. Shehi hatfilah. This is what tefillah is referred to. We know that the pasuk says by Yaakov Avinu, he said to Yosef Hatzadik, "Vani hinei nasati l'cho shchem achad elachecha." I am giving to you, my son Yosef Hatzadik. I give the city of Shchem, asher lo kachti miyad hu emayri, which I took away from the nation of Emayri, becharbi ubekashti, with my sword and with my bow and arrow. Keshes means a rainbow. Keshes also means a bow and arrow. The same word in Hebrew is used to mean both. The Gemara says, could this mean a physical sword and bow and arrow? We know there's another pasuk where the Torah says, ki loy bekashti eftoch. David HaMelech says, a Jew doesn't have faith in any bow and arrow. A Jew has faith in tefillah. So the Gemara says, what did Yaakov Avinu mean when he said, becharbi ubekashti? The Gemara says, cherev zu tefillah. Kemoy shekosuv roimemois kel bigroinam, v'cherev pifiois biyodam. There's a pasuk which says that the Jews give praise to Hashem, they daven to Hashem from their throats, and they carry a double-edged sword. The Gemara says, what's this double-edged sword? Tefillah. Because every tefillah has to have in it a minimum of two ingredients. Shvochei shel mokoim, acknowledging everything Hashem has done for you till now, thanking Hashem for everything Hashem has done for you up until this point, and she'ilas tzrochov, asking Hashem for everything that you need from this point on. So we see that tefillah is referred to as a cherev, a sword. Bekashti, the Gemara says, is bakoshosi, my requests. Again, another word referring to tefillah specifically. So Rabbi Nizal says, when a person is zeichet to tikkun habris, which is represented by this keshes, the bow, once you have a bow, you have an instrument that can shoot arrows. What are the arrows? The arrows is the tefillah. Shehi chai berchon detzleisa. The main, when the word tefillah is used in Shas or in Shulchan Aruch, stam tefillah refers to Shmoina Esrei. In Shulchan Aruch, there's Hilchas Kriya Shema, there's Hilchas this. Hilchas tefillah is the chapter that deals with the laws of Shmoina Esrei. So Rabbi Nizal says, through tikkun habris, which is this concept of the keshes, a person is zeichet to shoot arrows properly, which are the tefillah. The main part of the tefillah is chai berchon detzleisa, the 18 brachos, sheheim klas vovin. This number chai, the Zohar HaKadosh says, refers to 3 times 6. The vov in Hebrew, is that letter which is shaped like an arrow. Chai, the 18 brachos of the Shmoina Esrei, represents a concept of shooting 3 arrows. Note, how many times a day do we say Shmoina Esrei? Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis, corresponding to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So these Chai, Berchon, Ditzloisa, these 18 brachos of Tefillah of Shmoina Esrei, they represent 3 vovs. A vov is shaped like an arrow. These 3 arrows that we're shooting, kaviochel, towards Hashem. Note that by the Bris Kodesh also, we find similar terminology used, this concept of zoire kecheitz, shooting like an arrow. We see a connection between these 2 items, the Bris Haloshoin, the tongue, which is used for tefillah, and the Bris HaMo'er. Both of these items are very similar in concept. The mouth is used for tefillah, which is this concept of shooting arrows. The cherev and the keshes, both are terms applied to tefillah, right? And the Bris Kodesh also, the concept of tikkun habris, one who is not moitzi chas v'shalom zera levatola, that type of thing. One person who is not easy, wasteful in this item, by him, the zera is strong, it's powerful. So Rabbi Nizal says, Umekoimon bebris, the place where these arrows come from, where does the tefillah originate from? Where do these arrows originate from? They come from bris, bebechinas, as the pasuk says, ubrisi ne'emenesli. The bris was trustworthy to me. Note, in this pasuk we have a connection between bris and emuna, that there is a connection between bris and emuna. And Rabbi Nizal says, emuna zebechinas tefillah. We know that emuna is synonymous with tefillah. As the pasuk says, Vayihi Yodov Emuna. When Moshe Rabbeinu was doing battle against Amalek, the pasuk says his hands were lifted up to Hashem, Vayihi Yodov Emuna. The Targum says, Prison Bitzloi, that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were outstretched in tefillah. So we see that the word tefillah is used interchangeably with Emuna. Emuna means tefillah. And if the pasuk says brisi ne'emenesloi, that the bris is associated with emuna, it means that the bris is associated with tefillah. That tefillah, the power of your tefillah, is dependent on your tikkun bris. Al pi Kabbalah, this fits beautiful, because we know that tefillah and emuna both correspond to the sphere of malchus. We know that Dovid HaMelech is the one who said, Va'ani Tefillah, I am Tefillah, because Malchus is synonymous with Tefillah. Just as Malchus, a king, is Deles Lo Migarmo Klum, he has nothing on his own, so too Tefillah is nothing on its own except what it receives from Torah. The Gemara says, Meisir Oznoi Mishmoya Torah, Gam Tefilosoi Toyeva. You can't really construct a proper tefillah unless you know the Torah. Because the Torah teaches you what Hashem wants of you. Until you know what Hashem is looking for, you go babbling to Hashem, Hashem, give me this, give me that. For all you know, you could be asking for terrible things. You could be asking for problems, for trouble. So until you know the Torah, HaKadosh, it's very difficult for you really to know what to say, how to say, when to say. There's banis tefillah silcho Hashem eis rotzayin. There are particular times that are good for tefillah. A tefillah must be constructed from certain ingredients and everything. So a person, the tefillah on its own is nothing unless it receives support from Torah. Just as Malchus, a king, is nothing on his own, unless the people accept him. The people are what give him kingdom. Any person that has authority, rulership, the rulership is not something that he himself possesses. It's something which people give to him. It's a kavod that people accept him as king upon themselves. The moment they change their mind, the guy becomes ois king. A king doesn't become ois king by retiring. He becomes ois king when the people agree to stop accepting his authority upon them. They change their authority. Their eyes are turned now to some other leader. They give another leader the right to be the one to make decisions for them, the one to control them to whatever degree it is. So Rabbi Nizal says, through Tikkun HaBris, which is the concept of a keshes, that's the key to tefillah. And Rabbi Nizal says, V'oz hascholas tzmichas keren Moshiach. Once you have Tikkun HaBris and you have tefillah, that's the beginning of the blossoming forth of the Moshiach. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Atzmiach keren leDavid. Hashem says, I will bring forth a keren for David HaMelech. What is keren? Rabbi Nizal quotes another pasuk in Chavakuk, Karnayim miyodoi loy. Karnayim, the keren comes miyodoi, from the yad which is the symbol of tefillah. The whole concept of tefillah is what will leads to the coming of Moshiach specifically. Zebechinas tefillah. Rabbi Nizal says yodoi, zebechinas tefillah. We see the term keren is used related to Moshiach. We say it in Shmoin Esroi, V'karnoi Torim Bishua Secho, many psukim where this word keren is used related to Moshiach. And we see the word keren is used specifically related to the Yodayim. Karnayim miyodoi loy, that the keren, the blossoming forth of Moshiach, is dependent on the yodayim, on the hands specifically, which is the koyach ha-tfila. Utfilois heim shloisha. We know that tfilois, there are three of them. There are three basic tfilois, shachris, mincha, and mariv. Why? Why is that? Ki klolius Moshiach bo'ovois. Because Moshiach is actually a summation of a klolius of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Moshiach is actually Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov rolled up in one, in a sense. Hainu, Mesiach. The word Moshiach is the same letters as Mesiach. Mesiach is a lashon of speech, dibur, speaking. So that the word Moshiach is miloshon dibur, Mesiach. Shehu hadibur, sheboi mispalel. This represents dibur, speech, which is how you daven. The whole power of davening is through the koyach hadibur, the power of speech. Bechinas mesiach ilmim. As the pasuk says, Hashem takes those that are mute, that are silent, that have no words, and He gives them a power of speech. The power of speech is called mesiach. Vayetze Yitzchok losuach basode, to speak. Rabbi Nezal says, and this koyach hadibur humei shmayim ruach. The power of speech comes from fire, water, and air. We know that here, now here's where we have to explain a few things, a few concepts. We know that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that everything, just about everything in this world, is tied into the number four. Kaviyochol, the most basic name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, which is the mokor of the root of all other names of Hashem, they all emanate from this basic name. Hashem's basic name has four letters. These four letters are the basis for the four basic elements of creation, which are Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor, fire, air, water, and dust. The Zohar HaKadosh and the other Sifrei Kabbalah tells these are the four basic elements of creation, which correspond to Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. This also corresponds to the four levels of life within the world. We have Doimeim, Tsoimeach, Chai, and Medaber. Doimeim refers to inanimate objects like a rock, a stone, a mountain. Tsoimeach is the plant kingdom, a higher level of life. Chai is the animal kingdom. The fourth level is Medaber. And Rav Nosson Zal, in one place in the Kutei Halachos, gives a list of about 15 items, 15 of these types of things that come in sets of four, which correspond to the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Note, the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem, the throne of Hashem, also is based on a Yisoy, the foundation of four legs, the Dalid Ragli HaMerkava, as they're known, which are, they have on them the faces of the four leaders within creation. The leader of the chayos, of the non-domesticated animals, wild animals, is the arye, the lion. The leader of the domesticated animals is the shoyer, the ox. The leader of the birds is the eagle, the nesher. And the leader of all life is Adam, mankind. Arye, Shoyer, Nesher, Odom, these are the four chayos of the Merkava. We have a pasuk in Tehillim where it refers to Alfei Shinoon, the leaders of Shinoon. The Zohar HaKadosh says Shinoon is Shoyer, Nesher, Arye, and the Nun is Ho'odom. Because if you look in Yechezkel HaNovi, where it speaks about the image of the Odom on the Kisei, it's not called Odom, Val HaKisei Dmus, Kemare ha'odom, the pasuk there refers to the word ha'odom in one place. I don't remember exactly which sentence. It uses the term ha'odom over there. Ha'odom is Bigimatria 50. So we have all of these items that come in four. Medaber, which is the human kingdom, draws, is based on, is on top of the three below it. Just as the koyach hadibur, just as in this correspondence between Daimem, Tzameach, Chai, Medaber, lining up with Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor, the Eish, Ruach, Mayim correspond to the doimen tzomeach chai. The medaber corresponds to the ofor. Odom was created ofor min ho'adoma, right? The koyach hadibur, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, comes from these three yesodos, eish, ruach, and mayim. They're the ones, the whole concept of speech. If your throat is dry, a person can't talk. We say, when a person's throat is dry, air conditioning is on in a room, a lot of times that makes it difficult for a person to talk because it dries out the room. There's no moisture. Person's throat becomes dry. It affects the dibur. And the ruach, the whole koyach of speech is ruach. It's air coming in and outside the body. The dibur is air going in and out. Eish, there are many psukim in the Torah, cham libi bekirbi, dibarti belashoini. There are many psukim in the Torah showing the association between dibur and eish. So we see that dibur comes from these three yesodos, eish, ruach, and mayim, which correspond to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. The four images on the Merkava also, the Gemara tells us, are Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, and Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech is the fourth leg of the Merkava. So therefore, we see here, Rabbi Nizal says that through Tikkun HaBris, which is the Keshes, a person is zeicha to bring forth the arrows properly, which represent the 18, the koyach of tefillah, which is the 18 brachos of tefillah, which are symbolized by the three vovs, the gimel vovin, and Rabbi Nizal says, through that, a person brings forth the tzmichas keren David, bringing forth the blossoming of Moshiach, who is this whole concept of Mesiach Ilmin. Moshiach is symbolized by the koyach hadibur, the power of speech, and Moshiach is kolol from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, just as dibur is kolol from Eish, Mayim, and Ruach. Note, we have a posuk, Hashem Yitain Omer Hamavasrois Tzavarov. Hashem gives forth Amira, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Hashem spoke. The term Amira, the root word of the word Amira, is Eish Mayim Ruach. The first letters of Eish Mayim Ruach, which represents the ingredients that go into Dibur. Now note, why is this word Keren specifically used to refer to Moshiach? On this, we mentioned once a beautiful chiddush related to the Yom Tov of Chanukah that Rebbe Zal told over from the Bnei Yisochar. Beautiful, beautiful chiddush. The Gemara says in one place that any king in Klal Yisrael who was anointed, we know that a king, just as the Kohen Gadol, just as the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, the vessels that we use in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to be anointed with oil, Moshuach B'Shemen. The Kelim in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol, the kings, this is the symbol of Kedusha, this Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, which by the way refers to the site of Tikkun HaBris, it's not a topic for now, this Shemen refers to the purity, the oils in the brain that relate to keeping this concept of Tikkun HaBris. The Gemara says, any king who was anointed using a pach, a vial of oil, his kingdom was very short-lived. Versus any of the Jewish kings who were anointed from a keren, from a horn, their kingdom lasted forever. The Gemara says, where do we see this? Shol HaMelech, if you look in the beginning of Shmuel HaNavi, when Shmuel HaNavi went to anoint Shol HaMelech, he did it using a pach shel shemen. Pach means a vial, a small tube of oil. The Gemara says, look at him. His kingdom didn't last long. After him, his sons got killed out. Yonasan was killed out. And after him, it was the end of his kingdom. It wasn't passed on to his children, children's children, etc. By Dovid HaMelech was anointed with a keren. Therefore, his kingdom lasted. We see that his kingdom is the eternal kingdom of Hashem. Azoi shteit in the Gemara. This is what's written in the Gemara. Why? What? How? Look in the Marsha, look in the Rosh, look in Tosfos. No explanation. Go to the Chassidish Sforim, the Bnei Yisachar. The Bnei Yisachar says, I'll show you what the secret behind this is. We know that any kingdom of a Jewish king on earth must draw from the kingdom of Hashem. No king on earth has, nobody, no Jew has the right to be a king. The kingdom of the Jewish people is drawing from the king of Hashem, who is Malkoi Shel Olam. Hashem is the king of the world. We know that we say about Hashem, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Voed. Hashem was king, is king, and will always be the king. This concept of Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Voed, Hashem will rule forever, this is a concept, this eternal kingdom. Whereas, if we are to say that a person will rule implies he'll rule temporarily, but his rulership, his leadership can be cut off. The Bnei Sochar points out, you'll observe, that the words Yimloch Li Olam Voed that are written about Hashem's kingdom, a kingdom which will be eternal forever, the words Yimloch Li Olam Voed are Bigimatria Keren, exactly. The word Keren, 350, is Bigimatria Yimloch Li Olam Voed. The word Yimloch itself, Yud Mam, Mem Lamed Chof, is Bigimatria Pach, a vial. Again, this is a remez. The Gemara says any king that was anointed with a pach shel shemen, his kingdom, he was king, he became a king, but it was for a limited period of time. You want to see a king that rules eternal, forever? He's got to draw his malchus from Hashem's malchus, from the description of Hashem's malchus being forever. The words yimloch li olam voed are bigimatria keren. Therefore, a king about whom it's written that he was anointed with a keren, his kingdom was forever. This is why on Chanukah, on the Yontif of Chanukah, we discuss the miracle of Chanukah was with a pach shel shemen. Who cares? Why do they bother mentioning that it was a pach? I don't care if it was a kedem wine bottle or a jar. Who? Why bother? There's so much, this is mentioned in the Gemara and other places, this pach shel shemen that had the chasim of the Kohen Godol. Why pach? The answer is because is there a Masechta Chanukah in Shas? There's a Masechta Megillah in Shas that deals with the holiday of Purim. We know that the two Yomim Tovim, Chanukah and Purim, are just about identical, sort of, in Klal Yisrael. They're mentioned always together. Chanukah and Purim, we say Al Anisim by both. There are many similarities. Why is it that for Purim, there's a whole Masechta in Shas, Masechta Megillah, 32 blot of Gemara and everything? Chanukah, there's about 6 lines in Masechta Shabbos. Hidden in this, there isn't even a separate Mishnah for it. There's a Brisa on Daf Chof Aleph somewhere that area, or Daf Lamed Aleph somewhere that area, Chof Aleph, Lamed Aleph in Shabbos, where the Gemara says, "My Chanukah, what is Chanukah?" There's a short little blip about Chanukah. Vus is dus. The Chachamim didn't have a lot to say about Chanukah. You look in Chassidish Sforim, there's a lot of pages. Why is there so little? The answer is, who was the one who was Mesader, the Gemara, the Shas, the Mishnayis? Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi came from the family tree of David HaMelech. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, the Nesiyim of Klal Yisrael, came from the family tree of David HaMelech. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi did not want to write a lot about the miracle of Chanukah, because Chanukah wasn't such a big deal. You know why it wasn't such a big deal? Because the Jews won a victory. Oh yeah? Who took over as king? The Jews appointed a king after the miracle of Chanukah. Who took over as the kings of the Jewish people? Was it the family of King David? No. It was the Chashmonoim, the Kohanim. They took over for a period of 213 years afterwards. It was the Malchus of the Chashmonoim that took over. Therefore, the Mefarshim point out, this is actually why Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi didn't make such a big deal about it, in a sense. Because their kingdom was a temporary kingdom. You see that afterwards, wiped out and finished. That kingdom went away, the kingdom of the Chashmonoim. What kingdom is considered a big deal? It's only the Malchus of Dover HaMelech, the kingdom of the family tree of Dover HaMelech. That's a kingdom, that's the eternal kingdom. That represents the Malchus of Hashem. Just as we find a posuk, V'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz, Hashem will be a king. The Sifrei Kabbalah point out, V'hoyo Hashem lemelech. Hashem will attach himself, his name, to the king. Which one of the sons of Yaakov Avinu is the one that has Hashem's name inside of his name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, only Yehuda. Why? Because Yehuda is the one from which Dovid HaMelech comes from. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yehuda is Yud Kei Vav Kei plus the letter Dalit representing Dovid, Dovid HaMelech, who is the Melech HaMoshiach, the symbol of Moshiach. That's where the Malchus of Hashem is to be found. Therefore, when King David, when somebody from the family tree of King David gets upon the throne, that's a Malchus. The Malchus of the Chashmonaim was a short-lived one. Where did we see? The question is, how did they know? How did they know at that time that this Malchus was not going to be forever? Because the miracle didn't take place with a keren. They didn't find a keren of oil. They found a pach shel shemen. And the Gemara says in another place, we know that any king that's anointed with a pach, pach symbolizes a temporary Malchus. Pach is bigematria yimloich. Will rule. Yimloich means he will rule. They will rule. The Chashmonaim ruled for a period of time, but that's not real kingdom. Real kingdom is the kingdom of Moshiach, the kingdom of the family of Dovid HaMelech, which is a kingdom they will be anointed through Keren, through this Keren, which is Bigimatria Yimloich Li'olam Voed, referring to the eternal Malchus. This is a side item that's connected to this, the fact that Rabbeinu Zal mentions this Smichas Keren Moshiach. Why do we find that term Keren mentioned in the Shemoneh Esrei? Many, many psukim in the Torah, V'yorein Keren Meshichoi. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what's Taich V'yorein Keren Meshichoi? We know that the final Golos that we are in now is called the Golos Edoim in some places. In other places, it's called the Golos Roimi, the Romans. The Romans were the last kingdom to exile the Jewish people. We now are under the rulership of Roimi, this Malchus of Roimi in Golos. The Pasuk says, V'yorein Keren Meshichoi. The Marshal points out in one place in Shas, V'yorein is the Oisiyos Roimi, that when Hashem will smash the Malchus of Rome, how will it be brought about? Through V'yorein Keren Meshichoi. Hashem will lift up Moshiach. When this one goes up, this one naturally goes down. The Pasuk says, by Yaakov Avinu and Esav Harosho, Ula'oim mil'oim yemotz. Hashem says these two can never be on the same level. When the Yidden are up, the Goyim are down. When the Goyim are up, chas v'shalom, the Yidden are down. This is the concept of the Yoreim Keren Meshichoi. What about those people that got trapped within this Golos Roimi? What about those people, Rachmanu Litzlan, that fell into committing sins and doing all kinds of terrible things? How will their tikkun be brought about? The Zohar HaKadosh says, based on the Yecheskel HaNovi, the other places, that before a Jew who is impure, before he can enter into Gan Eden, he has to toivel himself in a mikveh. Not a mikveh of cool, sparkling water, but Nahar Dinur, a river of fire. And that fire is a fire of Kedusha that burns away all the sins, all the klipos, all the tumah that attached itself to the person. That fire cleanses it. Just as when we kasher an oven, we kasher a stove, we burn it out, so too we have this Nahar Dinur that burns away the sins. The Zohar HaKadosh says, why is that the term that's used, Bedafka? Because the Iker Klipa of all klipos is this Klipa of Roimi, the Romans. Note, the Babylonians kept the Jews in Golos 70 years. The Yevonim also a couple of years. This one a couple of years. This Golos of Roimi, Edom, Esav, this Golos is lasting over 2,000 years. They represent the Iker Klipa. The Tikkun for Roimi is this Nahar Dinur, a river of Nur. Nur is Bigimatria Roimi. It's Ze Le'umaseh. The tikkun for this klipa of Roimi, which injects sins and tumah and bad on the Yidden, will be the toveling in this river of fire. This fire will purify this Roimi, this klipa of Roimi. Halavai, we should be zeicher to a tshuva shleima, especially now where we started the Shleishes Me'agbola, preparing for the Yontif of Shavuos, which is a super time of chesed, kindness of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. We should be zeicha on this yontif, that's the symbol of Moshiach. We know Shavuos means seven, the end of 7 weeks. We know that the seventh sphira is Malchus. Chesed, Gevurah, Teferes, Nesach, Hod, Yisoid, Malchus. Shavuos is the seventh of the seventh. This is why the Yahrzeit of Dovra Melech is on Shavuos. Dovra Melech was the seventh son of Yishai. The Yahrzeit of Dovra Melech is in Shavuos, and the birthday of Dovra Melech is on Shavuos. We should be zeichen ezechus this holiday to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the return of all of Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Merav Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.